ShooCast! Welcome, everyone, including all our devoted listeners, who are actually dogs that just happen to be nearby a human listener, to the Stitch Down ShooCast, where we talk quality footwear, how it's made, and all the things we love about it. Deep cut listeners of the ShooCast may remember the first episode of Season 2, in which our own beloved Ticho battled Jake, aka Almost Vintage Style, in the world's first ever boot bait, an extremely formal and rigid debate about boots, which made all the sense in the world. So much sense, in fact, that we've brought Mr. Style back for the Stitch Down Boot Bait 2 Electric Boot Galoo, obviously, sponsored by Standard and Strange. I say we just get right into this and head over to that same top secret soundstage in the awful, just murky, stinky depths of New Jersey. Love you, Ticho. Let's go. Welcome, gentle bootsmen, to the Stitch Down Boot Bait 2 Electric Boot Galoo. Thank you both for your participation. Before we begin, I would like to remind you of the boot bait format. I, your moderator, will pose a number of questions to both bootsmen on various crucial topics. Each bootsman will have 2 minutes to answer each question without interruption. Following that will be a 3-minute open discussion for each topic. Following the questions, both bootsmen will be allotted 1 minute for a closing statement. And finally, I would like each of you to thank me for the fact that I am calling each of you bootsmen instead of boot baiters like I did last time.
I was fine with it. It made me chuckle. And I felt like I was a real master boot baiter. So
we might cut that out. And now, let us begin. Gentle bootsmen, the first question. As the timeless saying goes, the last comes first. What is the first on your list of favorite lasts? And why should listeners consider footwear using that last? We'll start with you, Mr. Style. You have 2 minutes.
All right. So my favorite non-custom last is the Clinch Classic Narrow Last. The original Classic Narrow Last, not the Classic Narrow Wide Last, which is still good, but I don't think it looks quite as nice. I chose this last for many, many reasons. One, it's beautiful. Two, it's really pretty. And three, it looks great. One thing you have to remember about me is that my feet fit into almost anything really easily. So I will admit, I am not the person to talk to about fit with lasts, really, for the most part. Like, I can tell the differences, but my friend Paul, partial to vintage, will tell me, you have liquid metal feet. So a narrow last like that, as long as I size it properly, which I do, it feels actually really nice. I think they're, I'd say, third most comfortable boots, most comfortable non-custom boots for me personally, but it looks amazing. It's got the right amount of toe spring, which I think is incredibly important, especially for an engineer boot. I'm obviously talking about this in terms of engineer boots. Not too pointy. It's flat. It ages really nice, designed specifically to crease the leather in certain ways, or, you know, fold or roll the leather in certain ways, which it does really nicely. And I love that. If I'm looking at a pair of engineer boots, that's the one I want to look at most, and it's the boots that I want to reach for the most because I like how it looks so much. So that's it.
That was exactly 2 minutes, Mr. Style.
Oh, wow. Nailed that.
You're doing wonderfully. Mr. Blanco, you have 2 minutes to respond.
I'm going to take it in a different direction and go for a last that is extremely comfortable, is extremely nice to wear, is great for adventures. That is the Alden True Balance last. I cannot stress enough how much fit is king when it comes to boots. Aesthetics are not even close to in my top five for things I care about with a last. How does it fit? How does it feel on my feet? Can I stand for hours? Can I walk through the woods for hours and then pull these things off and have my feet feel great? With True Balance, I can. I have a nice pair of suede indies from Alden Madison. I wear them for all my adventures in the woods, with my kids, whatever. My feet feel great. It's more of like a Subaru kind of situation. You know what I mean? And I do also own a Subaru. And that's just me. That's just me. I think gotta go for comfort over style there. So for me, it's True Balance, number one. I love it. How close did I get to 2 minutes?
Coming up a little short.
Fuck.
You got 15 seconds. Say something.
Yeah, nothing. I love it.
Time's up. And now, a 3-minute open discussion. Mr. Style will let you begin.
I don't even disagree about your points of fit needs to come first. Like I said, it's just kind of difficult for me because most things fit me really well. There's only two boots I can really think of that I've had genuine issues with the fit on. And even then, I could make it work. Red Wing. Every Red Wing I've had, and I've tried a few different styles, they're always too narrow. Now, I haven't had the Iron Ranger because I'm not a fan of that style for me. So I haven't tried those. They might be different. But like, I've had a couple Mock Toes. I actually like Red Wing Mock Toes, but they don't fit me. They're just too narrow. If I have to size up, then they're too long. And the Pecos boots, I love. My wife got them for me as a Christmas present a few years ago, and they look awesome, but they're too narrow. Again, so that, and then the Wesco MP Toe Last, that's it. Those are the only two I've had issues with. And otherwise, if I size it right, then I don't really have actual serious comfort issues with any boots, really. So I agree that comfort and fit is important. And I do have boots that fit even better, but that allows me to pretty much just go off of looks because I don't have the issue with fit. So yeah, I agree with you. Like, if you can't wear it comfortably, then you can't buy it. Right. I completely agree with that, but I don't have that problem. So because the Classic Narrow fits me actually just fine and is one of my most comfortable boots, it's not an issue for me. So I get to enjoy the aesthetics only. I get to focus on just the aesthetics, which I enjoy.
It's obviously a great looking last, you know, has a very unique aesthetic, a very striking aesthetic, but shoes are made to be worn. And if, you know, most people, it's just not going to work. I feel like you lose some points with me on that, you know, overall. It's obviously a niche product for a small subset of people that's going to work for and find that aesthetic appealing.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. If I was going for, like, best, like, universally appealing last, I'd pick the Vibert 2030, to be honest. I actually think the 2030 looks amazing. That's not even a boot style that I might ever buy again because I pretty much exclusively buy things that have Woodsman heels or Dogger heels at this point. But I still appreciate a really well-designed 2030 service boot. I think it's a ridiculously gorgeous last that a ton of people have tried to copy and not successfully been able to do. So, I mean, I know some people have issues with fit on that one too, right? But not as much as Clinch. Although I have friends that fit into the Classic Narrow last just fine, actually, too. So I know at least a few people that do. But I also know people that have had issues with it. So I know it's not perfect.
Yeah, I feel like, 2030 is obviously a great one, too. I've got a bunch of 2030 stuff. I do prefer the older versions of it from a few years ago. I've been kind of prioritizing buying older pairs of it from, you know, like 2015 through 17, 18-ish.
Interesting. What's with that? Because I'm not, obviously, you know, I'm not like a big Viber guy. So what's behind that?
They've made some tweaks to it and, you know, kind of changed the fit, the feel a little bit. It's pretty noticeable if you take like a pair from 2015, hold it up to something from 2021, 2022. I have pairs from more recent versions of it as well, which I like. They don't fit quite as well. They're pinching my pinky toes a little bit. Aesthetically, I feel like it is improved. But then the fit for me is a little bit not quite there, and I prefer those older versions of it.
I was enjoying that, so I let you run over. Thank you, gentlemen.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
You're welcome. The second question. The rubber sole, known as Dayonite, is one of the most heavily utilized outsoles on quality footwear worldwide. It is also occasionally maligned as having weaknesses that make said ubiquity questionable. Where do you fall on the topic of Dayonite soles? Mr. Blanco, you have 2 minutes.
So I get the criticism that people have for Dayonite. I understand where that's coming from. It's not the best, right? It's not the best sole that you could possibly get. And for a while, it was kind of pretty ubiquitous as kind of the main rubber sole you were seeing on a lot of these sleeker profile boots and shoes and such. I get why people don't like it. It's just these, you know, weird little nubs that don't provide a ton of grip, ton of traction. They wear down pretty quickly. And then you're basically on a flat surface with these little pits on there. But the thing I think of, right, is that the Dayonite sole is really operating as a replacement for the leather sole, right? Which I think we can agree provides some benefits. I like a leather sole, but it doesn't have quite the same traction. It doesn't have a great grip, great traction, not great for outdoors, stuff like that. And so if you think of the Dayonite as a more rugged replacement for that, that's going to be a little bit more hard wearing, going to last a little bit longer. You're going to feel a little bit better about going out in the rain, maybe taking it out on some light trails, light hiking, something like that. You know, versus a leather sole, which, like, you don't really want to do that. You're not really hiking in leather soles. Personally, I have slipped on a number of surfaces in both leather soles and day night, including one of my favorite Mexican restaurants, which, you know, gets a little greasy in there. And then they've got kind of like a tile floor and you're like slipping around a little bit on your day night. It's not ideal for everything, but overall, day night, solid, solid sole, dependable, but not the best either.
We're looking forward to hearing where else you've slipped in terms of restaurants in the open discussion. But now, Mr. Style, you have 2 minutes to respond.
I am not a fan of day night at all, to be honest. And I have had a couple of boots with day night soles. There's a few things I don't like about it. One, the grip, or, well, lack thereof. It's really not grippy. And any amount of water, I slip on it pretty quickly. And to me, I like your point of it's supposed to be like a replacement for a leather sole, but I don't think the benefits outweigh the costs, because there are benefits to a leather sole versus a rubber sole. I do think they're more comfortable, they're more flexible, and I do think there's aesthetic benefits to just going full leather. One of the things I really don't like about Day Night is that they don't have a half sole version as far as I can see. It's always a full sole, and I really don't like when you have a nice natural, you know, especially like a natural outsole, right? And it's that breakup between like a nice like light tan to just this like bar of black back to natural again. It's like, that's like frustrating, which is why my favorite pair of Vibergs of all time were the Shelby Sharp boots that were just full leather. And yes, Viberg has like a notoriously slippery leather sole, but once I scuffed it up, it was fine and it wasn't any less grippy for me in Southern California than the Day Night Vibergs that I had previously. Again, Day Night doesn't do well in the rain. I understand like the benefit to other rubber soles where you need that for the rain or for hiking, but I don't see the difference between hiking in a leather sole between hiking and hiking in a Day Night. They're both the worst tool for the job. I mean, you're better off in a pair of sneakers than either of those, in my opinion. Like, get a Ridgeway, get a lug sole, even like a Vibram V-Bar or like the Dr. Soles ones. I haven't had Ridgeways yet because I just don't buy the boots, that the style of boots that would be on Ridgeway. But Vibram or Vibram, however you pronounce it, I always forget.
It's Vibram.
Okay, Vibram. My Vibrams. And what's the one that everybody used to use on the...
Mr. Style, your time is up.
But they're better than Day Night. They're better than Day Night, and they come in half soles. That's another big thing.
Mr. Style, please stop advocating for sneakers in this boot bait.
That should be an automatic disqualification.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. That's fair. I'm just really, I really like that sneaker fit that I posted a few days ago. I'm really high on that right now. So, yeah. But I'll concede that. I'll concede that I should be disqualified for that automatically.
Thank you for accepting your disqualification. Despite that, a 3-minute open discussion. Mr. Blanco, we'll let you begin.
You know, I agree with everything you basically said about, you know, the soles that are better. I know you're maybe not a full sole guy. I agree as well on the uninterrupted heel stack. You know, that is a superior aesthetic look, and having that black line kind of break it up, not ideal aesthetically. But in terms of full soles that have a similar silhouette but improve upon the grippiness, the one that I am gravitating towards a lot is the Dr. Sole 1220. If you look at it, right, like the Day Night, it's got whatever, it's got like, I don't know, 8 nipples on it. So it's got 8 little nubbies. And then the Dr. Sole, it's just all these little ridges, all these little, you know, cool little design stuff on it. I'm not a physicist, but I feel like that's just going to provide, going to create more friction with the ground, even at a somewhat greasy Mexican restaurant. With tile floors or on, you know, I used to walk on a lot of marble and I would slip on the marble in my leather-soled dress shoes quite often. You know, I've dropped a number of file folders full of legal papers on the ground from that, but never dropped any tacos. So go figure.
Oh, it's Biltrite, by the way. I remembered finally. That's the other sole I was talking about. Everybody who made engineers in Japan used to use just Biltrite for everything, or cat's paw.
They're discontinued now, though.
I know. And it was, I mean, here's the thing, though. Most of them are replacing them with either Dr. Soles or like their own private label Dr. Soles. And I like Dr. Soles more than Biltrite, so I'm kind of fine with that, to be honest. But yeah, like I looked up the Dr. Soles one you're talking about. It definitely looks like It just looks like it would grip more, honestly, just based on the design. And also, I think some of it, I don't know if this is true. Again, I'm not a chemist or whatever. I don't make rubber compounds, but I feel like the rubber compound of Dainite is part of the issue because it always feels like hard and it's not soft enough to grip properly. I had Thursdays to test that I wanted to, you know, have just for review. The fake Thursday Dainite that I had honestly felt grippier than the real Dainite. And it might have just been because the Thursday Dainite was softer, but I honestly felt like it had more grip. And I feel like that's part of the issue with the Dainite as well. Like, yeah, the design is not the best right now in the first place. And as Ticho's pointing out, there is a better alternative if you need like a more slim profile one. And then also then again, you have like the better, like ones that literally just give you more grip, like Vibram Mini Lug, the full lug soles, obviously, Vibram V-Bar, Dr. Soul, Cat's Paw. Like actually, apparently Cat's Paw is not very grippy, but basically anything else is a better option. So.
Well, and even Vibram has the Eaton sole or whatever, which like is just looks like the same Dainite, like nipply kind of design. But, you know, I think your point about the compound, I agree, because the Eaton is a little bit of a softer compound. I just got a pair from King's Boots in China with that Eaton sole on it. I was like, oh yeah, okay, like it's like a Dainite, whatever. I'm like, oh no, this thing is actually a little softer. It's got a better grip to it. So I think you're spot on with the Dainite being a little too hard.
Thank you for the discussion, gentlemen. Also, to clarify, the name of the Thursday sole, which is non-copyright infringing, is Thursday and Night.
Is that true?
Thursday and Night.
Is that what it really says?
You have to say it really fast.
Thursday night. Night.
Thursday.
No, Thursday and Night.
Thursday night.
We're American. We skip
Thursday
letters.
Thursday and Night.
Is that real, though?
Absolutely not.
That sounds extra copyright infringing.
Next question. In the year of our Lord 2022 or 2023, depending on when this episode airs, how much does country of origin matter for footwear? Mr. Style, you have 2 minutes.
This is the one I've thought about the most. I feel like in terms of quality overall, no, it does not matter at this point. But I do think there are little differences here and there that you might want to pay attention to with different countries and different like makers. This will be a little overgeneralizing. We only have so much time. I do feel like as of right now, American brands seem to be the most transparent in terms of letting you know exactly what's going into the boot, especially Pacific Northwest brands. Now, in fairness, that's partly because their QC is not very good and because their biggest selling point is what's inside of the boots. That is something you'll get with them. Whereas if you go for Indonesian brands or Chinese brands or even some Japanese brands, to be honest with you, you might not be as sure as to the quality of what's inside of the boots or like the quality of the components and the hardware and stuff like that. I know some people have had issues in the past with like finding some weird stuff in their Indonesian boots that they didn't think was there or, you know, not using the best materials there. So that is definitely something to think about. Other than that, I think you can get really high quality boots anywhere at this point. So it depends on what you're looking for and what exactly you're asking, like with, you know, how much does it matter? I think certain things matter, but I do think like you're not going to get the most high-end last design, even if you get really great construction quality from Indonesia, for example.
Mr. Blanco, you have 2 minutes to respond.
You know, roughly agree with everything Jake's saying there. And I think what differentiates these different countries and the kind of output and stuff that's coming from different places is the access to materials, is the kind of infrastructure that's around the industry, right? You know, if you look at England, right, which has this historical shoemaking center in Northampton where there's last makers, bespoke shoemakers, there's dealers for leather and all sorts of other tanneries, all this stuff. It's a really well-developed industry there, right? And so as a result, it's not very difficult for companies there to make extremely high quality boots or shoes or what, you know, whatever. Now, in a place like Indonesia, they don't have that, right? They don't have quite that same tradition. It's They do have somewhat of a tradition, but it's, you know, obviously not as developed. And, you know, the tanneries there are don't produce high quality of leathers generally. That's not what they're used to making. You know, as a result, they have to import a bunch of stuff, right? And that kind of changes the way it all kind of comes together, right? Even through that, you know, I think amazing boots can come from anywhere. We've seen kind of a democratization of that where there's just random dudes around the world just kind of popping up and making them. Is it hard to find the thread? Is it hard to find the right insole leathers? Is it hard to find toe puffs and that kind of stuff? Sure, it is. And, you know, maybe they have to pay extra for import duties and stuff like that. But then, you know, I've been working with these Chinese brands, right? And you go there and it's like, okay, well, they've been producing a lot of high quality shoes for a long time, and they're maybe not England, but they've got a pretty well developed back end industrial system for making components for shoes. You know, so much manufacturing of a lot of these components has already moved over there, you know, years and years ago. And so they've been making these things for years, and you can go and just get, you know, really high quality lasts just made like really quickly and not very expensively either.
Thank you, Mr. Blanco.
Oh, okay.
And now, a 3-minute open discussion. Mr. Style, we'll let you begin.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're seeing a lot coming out of China that's honestly looks very high quality. And the stuff I've received has been very high quality. I think I still have an issue personally with like companies outsourcing things, but it's not like a China thing anymore, because also most of the brands that are doing their outsourcing aren't outsourcing to China anymore, because Chinese manufacturing is so high quality now that it's too expensive to be your main destination for outsourcing. Do you know the story of like Swiss watchmaking, right? Where Switzerland used to be like the cheap watches, and then just because they did it for so long, essentially they became like the high-end watches. Like, I could see China and Indonesia eventually doing that. It's like with Japan with guitars. Fender would like outsource their guitars to Japan. The Japanese guitars were really good, so they actually outsourced them further to somewhere else instead. Like, you can definitely see that happening. I think that's just proof that when people, you know, get that tradition going and somebody's passionate about making stuff, it doesn't matter where they are, the quality can be extremely high. I just think there's like little things to pay attention to about different boots, where they're going to be. If you're buying boots made in the US, unless you're buying like Roll Club, the quality control might not be that great. Let's be honest here. They're going to be a little bit rough. I mean, I there's a lot of American boots I love, but they might be a little bit more roughly made. You know, you're probably going to get higher quality construction finishing in England, in China, in Indonesia, in Japan, any of those places, to be honest with you. But there's stuff you get in the US that you won't get in as many other places, like the super amazing arch support, if that's what you want. You're probably not going to get that as much anywhere else. Japanese boots, super amazing finishing. You're not going to really get much custom stuff there. And if you need arch support, unless you go for White Cloud, which is not the easiest to do, obviously, you're not going to get very good arch support for the most part, right? And you could get, like with the Classic Narrow, an artistically designed last that may not suit 90% of people's feet, right? So there are compromises everywhere, and they're not universal. Obviously, there are exceptions to rules for all of these brands. As of right now, it feels like there is like kind of certain general like styles and trade-offs, like pluses and minuses to different areas. But I think they're all worthwhile and worth looking into. They're definitely all good quality, at least.
Mr. Blanco, you better hurry up.
You know, he was flowing, man, you know, and it was, I was digging what he was saying. But yeah, man, absolutely. Like you're, you know, like you said.
And that's time. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sorry, Ticho. Sorry.
The next question is from a listener named Jen, who apparently works at Standard and Strange. He's provided 3 brief facts, only one of which is true. I will read the 3 facts, and you two will have to debate which 2 are false and which 1 is true. Jen, debate fact number 1. The construction type Weldschön translates to smelly stitches, in quotes. Jen, debate fact number 2. Kilties on boots are so named because they look like adorable little leather kilts for boots. Jen, debate fact number 3. What some people mistakenly think are leather soles on finer boots and shoes are actually made of wood. Gentle bootsman, you have 1 minute of open debate.
So wait, are all these true or are all these false?
I feel like these are all false.
Are they all false?
I feel like these are all
false. What's going on, Jen? Weldschön, I took German in high school. It doesn't mean that. The kilties, it does look like a little kilt, doesn't it? A little bit.
It does.
What else could it mean, I
the
guess?
The wood one.
Everybody always says that. Oh, these soles are made out of wood.
Yeah, all the Alpha M. They've got, you know, some people with not very much experience. say that leather soles are actually made out of wood.
Well, and what's interesting is that part of the reason that they are so hard and wood-like is that they are tanned with wood tannins taken from wood, from like oak bark, right? So it's like, oh, you're so close, but like you're still extremely wrong.
Yeah. It's like you're wishing for a snow day and you get torrential rain.
Yeah, a few degrees off.
Maybe the kilty one sounds the most realistic then.
Yeah.
I know this is supposed to be a debate, but it feels like we're just doing a group project actually right now.
I feel like we're, yeah, just having a collective fever dream right now. Okay, yeah, well, I usually get the best of Jen on these. And so I think we're in agreement here that kilty, that's true. We think that's true. It still sounds wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But it sounds more true than the other two.
If the question is, what is the true Jen fact? I do not know the answer, as debates don't generally tend to have one.
But they should have answers, right?
Have you ever watched a debate?
Yes, I have. Isn't that the entire problem with our political system right now? Question mark.
Yeah. I feel like I watched the, like, no puppet, no puppet, you're the puppet one, and that might be the only one I've ever seen. Oh, no, I watched the please proceed governor one as well. Those are my two debate moments I can recall.
It's great to hear, Mr. Blanco.
Those had clear resolutions.
Thank you, Jen. On to the next question. While it has been said that there is nothing new under the sun, a discussion nonetheless often rages about makers creating original patterns and designs versus creating work that could kindly be called derivative. What kind of creative ownership, even if not purely legal, should a bootmaker have over their designs? Mr. Blanco, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, most of these designs, right, they're based on something. They're based on an old military boot. They're based on some old historical boot that was, you know, made in a certain region or, you know, worn by a certain person or whatever. But there is like a line, right? There's a line where you got to say, okay, well, this is so unique to this maker that it is their original work. And anybody treading too close to that is kind of infringing upon that. You know, I think that line's probably different for different people, but I think we as a community are able to kind of look at it and collectively feel it, right? We can kind of collectively feel when something's a little too close. You know, if you saw something that was like an Indonesian maker making something that was like really, really close to a white cloud, it would probably trigger something in Jake's brain that would say, nah, that's too close. You know, that heel's too shiny. We can't have this. For the most part, I feel like most of these designs are kind of just floating out there in the historical record. To a certain extent, there is a line, but it's, you know, I think it's what we all agree as the community where that line is.
Well said, Mr. Style. You have 2 minutes to respond.
Yeah, this is a tough one because our entire style and like clothing and boots and everything is based off of like originally at least reproing old stuff that a lot of it used to be made and isn't made anymore, and trying to make the best copy of a lot of these things, which is, let's be honest, that's already kind of a gray area there. And there's a bunch of us, like, if you guys move slightly over to the denim world, you got all of us denim heads like upset that the Japanese brands aren't able to rip off Levi's as much as they used to be allowed to rip off Levi's, right? Now, it's partly because Levi's keeps making everything worse and worse, but, you know, is that really actually okay? We think so. Is it really, like, legally? Probably not, you know? Levi's, you know, outsourcing their production does not make it, I don't think it makes it legally more allowable for us to want to copy their stuff more, right? I mean, you know, teacher, you got the law degree, right? Is that, I think that's probably fair to say, but yet we do it anyway. It's worse when you're copying something that is still currently being made, especially something that's been designed recently. There was an example of like labor union ripping off a Mr. Freedom design. And like people like, oh, but it's like a repro. No, Mr. Freedom stuff is not actually a repro. It's his own original designs. And so that obviously, like, everybody pretty much agreed that that was not okay, except for a few weirdos. But otherwise, everybody basically agreed that was not okay. But then with boots, it's a little closer. I think there are some examples recently of some brands that, you know, have done copies, but that's not new. I mean, you have a lot of examples. Like, how many people have tried to copy a Viber 2030 service boot? Is the outrage higher when somebody does a better job of copying versus when they don't do as good of a job? Like, no one's gonna get as mad at somebody doing a really mediocre copy of a 2030 service boot. Even if they're trying really hard to copy a 2030 service boot, they're just not very good at it. No one's gonna get mad because they're not good at copying it. But then if somebody does a really good job getting close to, well, let's use our closest example, a clinch boots, right? People are making very close copies of those. Well, are we more mad at them because they're just better at copying it than other people are? Like, that's kind of the weird thing everything about it. The thing is, I want to be upset about that because I love Clinch. But then at the same time, I'm sitting here adoring my White Clouds, which they're copies of Pacific Northwest Packer boots and semi-dress boots. Like, that's what they are. That's not a secret. So maybe it's because for White Cloud, he's offering something that is very different in terms of an overall product than what a brand like White's or Knicks or Wesco is offering. I think that could help. Whereas maybe if another brand is trying to offer literally the exact same package, maybe that's what makes it worse. But then again, does that actually make it a worse offense or not? You know, are we making it more okay?
Let us discuss for 3 minutes. Open discussion, Mr. Blanco. Mr. Blanco, we'll let you begin now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, if somebody makes a poor attempt at recreating something specific, right? Yeah, somebody's trying to do a ripoff of a Clinch Jaeger or something like that, right? And they do a bad job. Well, that's just a boot. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
yeah, that nobody wants to buy.
It fails to actually be a copy or whatever. But if somebody does, you know, such a good job on it that people are like, oh, it actually looks the same, suddenly you're like, that somehow feels unfair. And it's like, well, if somebody was good enough at bootmaking to make a copy that was that good, you know, you kind of just say, why don't you just go make your own thing, right? Like, just go do something else at that point, right? You know, and I think that's pretty fair. I think that's pretty fair to say, right? But also, to a certain extent, there is a line on it, right? Where you're just kind of like, a boondocker is a boondocker. It's out there as a design that's based on a historic military boot. Everybody kind of has their take on it. Even if it gets really close to somebody else's take, it's still going to be slightly off, right? It's going to be, the proportions are slightly off. And like, that's all you're talking about, right? It's a plain toe boot. You're talking about, what are the proportions? How many lines of stitches do you decide to do on the quarters and along the heel counter? Are you doing the full sole, corded sole? Are you doing the half? What are you doing? You know, it's like, there's only so many options for recreating that. I do think it's an interesting problem. It's an interesting question. And it's really interesting to me which of these things trigger people to being like, that's a copy. And which ones are they just kind of let slide because it doesn't get quite close enough to that line.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because like, it happens in leather jackets a lot too. Especially happens, like, there's so many people copying like Freewheeler's designs right now. So many Japanese leather jacket makers copying Freewheeler's designs. But a lot of those Freewheeler's designs, some of them at least, are originally something else from like the 30s or whatever, right? Like, the biggest one would be the leather togs jacket that Freewheeler's does, the La Brea, with that big giant deep pocket in the front. Ever since Freewheeler's made that a big deal, a lot of other brands have been trying to copy that jacket, or the Freewheeler's Mulholland, which is originally like a CHP jacket, but they kind of modified it, and now you have other brands copying it. And like, some people would get annoyed at it, and I used to kind of get annoyed at it, but now I don't, because honestly, none of them are as good as Freewheeler, so it kind of doesn't really matter that much. And anybody who knows and loves Freewheelers is not ever going to buy one of those other jackets. So again, yeah, I think it's weird. It's like, I think the thing that would make people more mad is like, are you going to be taking away sales from a company that like came up with that original design? Which I think is why that Mr. Freedom thing made people really mad. I was upset about it too, is because that is like, you were literally trying to give somebody a direct alternative to this original design from Christoph. Whereas, like, again, with White Cloud, I don't think it's as big of a deal. Again, I'm biased because I'm friends with him. It's a very different product than what, like, a Pacific Northwest maker is going to make. Somebody who's going to buy one of those is not going to go for a White Cloud instead. So I think maybe part of the issue would be when it's going to be, like, a direct alternative. Would somebody pick that instead of the boot from the person who designed it? But then, of course, like you said, like, a boondocker is a boondocker. And there's, like, the 55 lasts. Isn't that, like, shared among bootmakers and, like, the Munson lasts and all this stuff? So it is this weird thing where, oh, some of it's okay to copy and share, but then some of it isn't. It is a weird thing sometimes. Like, how many people are going to make boots that look almost exactly like the John Lofgren Donkey Puncher? I mean, there's a bunch of those too. But even that's not entirely original. It's just like, when people get closer to that one, it's a bigger deal. And I don't know, like, what the legal issues are behind it. It's not a logo, right? So can you even copyright a boot last or a boot design? I don't even know how that works, to be honest.
Well, I think you can probably do a last design, right? Like a specific last, but any of these patterns, it's all just out there. You know, it's not something you can really trademark or copyright. I'm not smart enough to be an IP lawyer, so I'm sure that somebody listening is and will chime in and tell me how wrong I am about that. But most of these designs, and it's the same for the jeans, the jackets, you know, but like, even with that stuff, there is, like you mentioned, Levi's, right? Like, you know, how many brands are making like a 1947 Levi's cut, right? I mean, I'm wearing a pair right now from Oe Yofukuten, which I think you own as well. And are by far the best jeans I've ever owned in my life. It's not a pair of Levi's. Levi's can't sue them, but Levi's will sue people who start putting the red tabs and doing the designs on the pockets and stuff like that, right?
I love the clever ways that they've gotten away with, like, basically doing the Levi's arcs without actually doing the Levi's arcs. That's so much fun. But it's like we mostly collectively don't like Levi's at this point, right? So it's okay. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing like that where that's okay because we don't like what Levi's is doing. But with other brands, it's not okay.
Well, hold on. Yeah, I mean, if I could go to Levi's and get a pair of jeans that fit me as well as these OAs and we're going to age like them and be the same quality, I would just go do that, right? I think everybody would, but that doesn't exist. So you got to go find it somewhere else. It's not like, oh, I want Levi's, but I want them cheaper or I want them, you know, whatever. It's like, no, this literally doesn't exist unless you go to two random people in Japan making these things atelier style.
Gentlemen.
The cost thing comes into it there. They're not a cheaper alternative. They're a better alternative versus the
gentlemen.
Labor union Mr. Freedom thing was a cheaper alternative, not an improved version.
Gentlemen!
I cede the rest of my time.
I do as well.
That was really fucking long. As we all know, the best place to get high-quality Levi's that one loves is my father's closet, from which I poach the very pants I'm wearing right now from, like, 1982. I feel great.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
He doesn't know.
My dad's like a 38 waist or something, so I can't grab those.
Yeah, I can't grab my dad's stuff either, so. Yeah.
Don't tell him. And now, the final question. Is pursuing other aspects of personal style necessary to truly enjoy higher-end boots? Mr. Style, you have 2 minutes.
Obviously, it's not necessary because, you know, it's a free world. You should be able to do whatever the heck you want. If you want to just wear boots and garbage everything else and wear your boots with, you know, some nice tall Kirkland dad white socks and cargo shorts, then you know what? You should be allowed to do that, right? You'll look silly, I think, but you should be allowed to do it, right? And I think we look silly to a lot of people wearing what we wear, right? But I do think it adds something to it if you're going to pursue other aspects of style. I mean, it's in my name. Almost vintage style. I obviously care about the entire outfit. A lot of people might think I have no style, but at least I do care about it, right? This is actually, I don't even see this as the biggest issue in boots. I actually see it as a bigger issue in the leather jacket community. You go on the Fedora Lounge, there's a bunch of dudes on there. It's not as big of an issue anymore, but they do not give a damn about anything else but leather jackets. And I just think that's so ridiculous. Leather jackets, you wear, they're not practical. They're not practical at all. And so you're wearing them just for looks, and yet you don't care about anything else that you wear, so you look terrible. What is going on in your brain that makes you do that? So at least with boots, I don't think it's as bad because you can buy boots just for the comfort or the work aspect of it. So there are reasons to care just about the quality of your boots and nothing else. However, let's be honest, most of us aren't actually buying boots for that reason. We're buying them because we think they look cool. So in that sense, if you care about how your boots look at all, then you have to care. I think therefore you kind of have to care about the other things that you're wearing. You have to put a cohesive outfit together. If you like skinny jeans because you like skinny jeans, I disagree with you, but I understand. Please stop wearing skinny jeans just to show off your boots. That is the thing that bugs me the most is when people say, oh, if I get these jeans, then you can't see my boots as well. That makes my brain hurt when people say things like that.
Mr. Style, we hope your brain feels better soon.
Yeah, please, thank you. Yes, pray for me, thank you.
Mr. Blanco, you have 2 minutes to respond.
Yeah, obviously, it's not necessary. People can dress however you want. It's a free world. There's no rules anymore. No, nobody cares. But I have found, in my experience, wearing a lot of these boots, that over time, I care more about style now than I did before. It started with, I love these shoes. I want to wear these cool shoes. And then it was like, well, I obviously need good pants to go next to them, you know? And then you start reading about raw denim. You start learning about, like, nicer suiting and stuff like that. And then you're like, all right, well, I got the pants, you know, and I got, you know, maybe some suit jackets. And it's like, well, I need some nicer shirts. Okay, well, now I need, like, some good sweaters, right? Because I want sweaters that are going to age beautifully and, you know, have kind of the same vibe as my high-quality boots, right? Or somebody that's into a boot that is going to gracefully age over time and get better the more you wear it. You know, you suddenly don't want to just keep throwing away J. Crew sweaters. You want like a really nice high quality wool sweater. Everybody, I love wool. You start getting into like, well, what's the Viberg boots of sweaters? You know, what's the White's boots of jackets? You do kind of fall into this rabbit hole of like, I need better stuff, right? And then whether or not you're Jake's friends on the Fedora Lounge just looking like, a bunch of pieces together, you know, on your body, which is probably how I would describe my style. It's just a bunch of nice, I think, nice stuff. That's just kind of like, I'm wearing it. You know, that's my style. I'm a suburban dad who wears $95 Loop Wheel t-shirts and thick flannels and expensive Japanese jeans and really expensive boots. That's my style. You know, is that a pursuit of style the way Jake has a very clearly defined and unique style? You know, I don't know, right? I don't know. And I don't think it needs to. It can just be like, I like all these things. I like wearing them. They feel good to me, and I enjoy them.
I would say, let's find out during a 3-minute open discussion. Mr. Style, bring us home.
Yeah, I mean, for me, obviously, I think the entire outfit matters a lot. For me, that's the end goal. That's the thing that's the most fun to me, is putting together good outfits, or at least what I think are good outfits. I think also there's the benefit of having quality for other clothing, is like there's comfort. You get increased comfort, I think, increased durability. If you care about, you know, better treatment of the planet, if you're buying like actually well and ethically made stuff, then that's important as well. Some of the brands that pretend to be like, quote unquote, heritage, but are outsourcing it, that's a problem. But anything else, there's that benefit. Plus, like, the awesome people that make the stuff too, I think is really cool. And if you just narrow yourself down to boots, like, you're purposely, if you're not even looking at the other stuff, right? Even you don't have to buy the most expensive other clothing, right? There are good quality items for other things beyond boots that are good, but not crazy expensive if you don't want to go that route. But I feel like if you don't even think about those other things, then you're purposely narrowing your mind, right? You're purposely closing yourself off to other possibilities. I like style, okay? Like, I, you know, I'm like, I'm on a boot bait, but like, that, this is very like important to me, that I talk about this all the time, that like, you don't just, you know, wear, you can just wear your favorite stuff, but that's not my thing. Like, you have to, I've done that, I've made that mistake before. I did that when Goto-san came out. Like, I was like, I need to wear a leather jacket and one of my White Cloud boots, and the outfit looked terrible together. It looked stupid, and so I regret that. You know, I would have worn something else instead. I should have worn my Oa Yofuku and Cossack jacket, which looks great with my White Cloud boots. You know, just today, I wore my White Clouds today because I wanted to put together an outfit where I have a red leather jacket with my red boots. I have a black belt with red inlays from Duke Manti, and then I got black Buzz Rixon chinos. So I was like a candy cane of black and red. You know, I looked like a 17-year-old's like OC anime character drawing, but I loved it. I had fun, you know, putting that outfit together and wearing it today. You know what I mean? And I'm going to wear it again when I can, you know, finally take pictures of it. But like, that's a fun thing too, beyond just the clothing itself or the boots itself, is then getting a good outfit, getting inspiration from other people in terms of their outfits. That's, I think, a fun thing as well.
I mostly just wear, I have 3 Real McCoys like sweatshirts that I probably wear 85 to 90% of the time, that I'm not just wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I already do that, dude. I've for years, I've basically worn an Ekru Henley like every, like 50% of the year, you know? So it's not like I haven't already been doing that. I just tuck it in and then I can say, I care about style. See, that's the trick.
Yeah, the trick for me is that it's not about style. It's about comfort. It's about, you know, just wearing what I want to wear and wearing pieces that make me feel good. And if you were going to describe what is a typical Teacho outfit, it is a black Real McCoy's hoodie, OA jeans, and like a pair of boots. And that is what I'm in 50% of the time. You know, that it's not just t-shirt weather when I'm wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and boots. Is that a style? You know, you could say that it is, right? Because I'm making a choice to wear pieces that are, you know, high quality, that are aging well. You know, I've got the seamless t-shirt that drapes, you know, nicely along my Dorito-shaped torso. You know, a pair of jeans that, you know, I got away from the skinny jeans. I was, doing the real tapered jeans for a long time, and then, you know, realized, oh, it's actually like way more comfortable to wear something that's not super tapered. Like, that's actually a complete game changer. Oh my God, dude, I can't believe I held out for as long as I did on the tapered jeans. It's like unbelievably better. And I feel better about myself. I feel like this is a better expression of who I am. And right, and that's what style is, right? It's like you get to choose how you kind of express yourself to the world. You know, when I go out to like to a wedding or something like that, you know, it's like, yeah, you could bet I'm gonna be in a really sharp pair of Japanese made dress shoes and a nice suit that fits me well and a high quality dress shirt, and I'm gonna probably have like a weird expensive tie on that like might have a unicorn on it. It looks like my dog. I got this tie from Alden Madison. They just had one that just the dog on it looks exactly like my dog. I don't know how they have that. Like, my dog, it's like an uncommon dog, a Kazon. But I've got a Kazon tie and a unicorn tie, and those are like my 2 main ties that I wear.
Mr. Blanco, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with the comfort thing. Like, I'm moving towards that.
Deerskin,
if you like leather jackets, deerskin leather, that's the secret. I swear, my Freeler's deerskin jacket, because it's fully lined in flannel, plus it's deerskin, it is more comfortable than the sweatshirt I have. Because I do have a sweatshirt, but I feel like the deerskin's more comfortable.
And now.
I agree. Those deerskin jackets are wild.
And now.
He's interrupting our enjoyment of comfort. Have you noticed that? It's making me uncomfortable that he's interrupting our enjoyment of comfort.
Put it in your closing statements.
I went like heavy horse-eyed on my leather jacket, and I wish I went deerskin. Sorry, what? What was he talking about?
He's not talking about deerskin.
And now for the closing statements. Mr. Style, you can go first. You have 1 minute. Got it, Bucko? 1 minute.
So, yeah.
Your time's up. I'm sorry.
So anyway, deerskin is fantastic. I love deerskin. It's really comfy. Also, why do leather jacket brands, like a lot of them, insist that you should put cotton drill in the sleeve lining when that is not as comfortable? Like, just go full flannel. So if you're customizing a leather jacket with somebody, don't listen to them when they say it's going to catch on everything. It won't. Okay? Just go for full flannel. It's so much more comfortable. I promise you. It's worth it. Or just go like full rayon or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm wearing my sweatshirts way more now, especially like, again, how much earlier I'm getting up, Ticho. So like the whole, but for me, it's like pullovers. I never like hoodies. Once I got past like 15 years old, I didn't like hoodies anymore. Not saying you can't like hoodies when you're older. Like that's just when it happened for me. So I like pullovers.
Do you wear leather jackets to work?
Every day. Almost.
Wow.
Yeah. Almost every day. Except for now, I have some other ones that I like, you know, like that new Freewheelers aviator jacket. I got to send you a picture of it just so you can laugh at how ridiculous it is that I have this in California. Hold on, Ticho.
Hold on. He's sending me a picture.
Thank you, Mr. Style, for an intriguing and unique closing statement to a boot bait.
Oh, I thought it was like closing statement on what we were talking about earlier. My bad. I misunderstood the question. Sorry.
He got disqualified like 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, anyway. I got disqualified 40 minutes ago. I'm just saying whatever I want at this point.
Mr. Blanco, you have 1 minute to make a closing statement in the boot bait.
You know, in conclusion, just wear whatever you want, I guess. I don't know. Also, buy nice boots, right? Like, that's the most important thing of all of this. Do you like really pretty boots? Do you like a really rugged boot that's going to be super comfortable? It doesn't matter. Just buy the one that you like. Buy one of each. I have each of them. That's certainly not an issue here. I've got whites. I've got Aldens. I've got all sorts of stuff that's like just built for comfort, built for going hard. And then I've got real pretty stuff that I take out for a spin here and there and generally just like looking at. It's really everything. I don't need to sum up anything else, really. I think I expressed everything I wanted to express. I'd like to thank the who put this on, who was sponsoring this. I think it was like Central Arkansas University or something. Scottie Pippen, represent.
Thank you, Mr. Blanco. Thank you once again, Mr. Style, for displaying your knowledge, wit, cunning, and shirt tucked inness throughout the course of this exercise. Everyone be sure to spend an ample amount of time on Mr. Style's very excellent blog, almostvintagestyle.com, and to follow at almostvintagestyle on Instagram. If you wish to follow Mr. Blanco as well, that is permitted.
Extra plug, I have a YouTube now, and I'm actually posting on YouTube again. Just wanted to throw that in there. I appreciate the plug for me. I just want to make sure I plug that, because that's actually what I'm doing more right now.
I'll plug, if people haven't read the interview that you did with Peng from Flame Panda, anyone who is listening to this who hasn't read that, go read that right now. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing I've ever put out, and it has nothing to do with me. That is literally just because Peng is just like the most amazing human being on the planet, and just like went, you know, like, you know how like, you know, you interview and then I talk way too much? That's what he did, except for people actually want to hear it. That has nothing to do with me. It just turns out that like he wrote the most brilliant, beautiful novel for my interview questions. So all credit to him. I did nothing. I was like, Ben is so much better at doing interviews than me. And it feels so weird that like I got a good interview done. But it's all because of Peng. Ben, you might have actually gotten a book out of him with how much better you are interviewing than I am.
Ben, write a book. Write a book about Peng.
Yeah, write a book about Peng. I bet you could.
I will do that. Thank you, Mr. Blanco, for quitting being an actual lawyer, thereby allowing yourself to engage in such wonderful and needed pretend shoe lawyer behavior such as this. It's quite meaningful. And finally, a monstrous thank you to Standard and Strange for sponsoring this boot bait. I have no idea who won. except Jake may have been disqualified.
Yeah, I think I lost, but I won because I got to talk about deerskin jackets.
We all won because you got to talk about deerskin jackets.
That's true, exactly. So I will gladly sacrifice my trophy or whatever it is.
Is there a prize for this? Yeah, what's the prize?
Did you check the chat yet for that ridiculous jacket that I have now that has no place being in Southern California?
Why do you own this?
Exactly.
You can wear this for like 10 minutes a year, dude.
Oh, no, I've already worn it for like 8 hours.
How many breakfast burritos can you fit in that pocket?
Oh, geez, probably 5 or 6. Oh, it depends on from what place.
Oh, my God, Mr. Style, this jacket is fucking incredible.
Dude, I posted that on the Discord and like and on my Instagram stories. I swear
Holy
to God,
shit.
I got more. Go if you I can scroll back up, dude. I got more positive
responses.
You
finally got me to break character.
I got more positive responses from that than I did from posting that on the Discord than any leather jacket I've ever posted on the in the jeans section.
I mean, that's cool, man. That's a cool jacket.
It's ridiculous, but is it not the most glorious jacket ever?
It is. You won. Okay, Jake won.
I was like, I could get one of the many N1 deck jackets.
Actually, no, I take it back. The jacket won. The jacket won the debate. Congratulations, jacket. This really worked out. Okay, back in character. Take care of your shoes. We'll see you next time.